How would you power rank the GMs of the major sports teams here in Houston? We'll let you know our ranking coming up in a moment here on In the Loop. Reggie, John, they're out today. I'm Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee.
Yep.
Figgy Fig on the steel wheels. And you're hanging with us too here, where you can join the conversation on the text line 713-572-4610 or on Twitch and the YouTube chat, which is now turned into a conversation about people that look good for their age based off of our conversation last segment.
What we got over there? Who looks good for their age?
Paul Rudd.
Okay.
Rob Lowe.
Okay.
Sam Elliott has been 65 years old for the last 30 years, they said. It's true. I've always had this theory of when you look old at a young age, then you stop aging.
You just stay there.
And then you look old when you're young, but then you always look young as you get older, and that's the advantage to it.
So you look 65 at 25, and by the time you reach 65.
Yeah. They're like, man, he hasn't changed in 30 years. This guy doesn't age. It's like, well, no, he just aged when he was 30.
He had a rough first 25 years.
Yeah. So that's the one positive. It stinks to look old when you're young, but then it comes back around. You look young when you're old. Or you're believed to be looking younger when you're older.
Amazing.
I love that most of the comments were about men. That's great.
I was going to say, there were no women on there, huh?
Yeah, instead of like misogynistic conversation or anything.
What's up with Halle Berry? She looked young for her age.
The only female was Salma Hayek.
I'm not mad at that.
Yep.
Salma Hayek, Halle Berry, they will always be they will. Yeah. They will. They'll never age. Never, ever.
Also, but to be fair, with these people in Hollywood, I mean, they probably are having things done, which goes against my original point.
I mean, the men, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Might even be more so now.
Yeah, the whole cast.
In Hollywood,
Sure. The whole cast of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia looks really strange now compared to when that show first started.
And you know what? They do, but I love that show.
That's a great show.
That is one of my... For me, they're up there, like as far as like what I think of the show. We talked about it before, Arrested Development.
Yes,
I'm not saying intellectually on that level. No, but I think it's a great show. I think they're both great shows.
Yeah, they are. Okay, how would we rank the GMs of the Houston sports team? So obviously, you have Raphael Stone for the Rockets, Dana Brown for the Astros, Nick Caserio for the Texans.
Yep.
I think it's interesting without tipping my hand too much, that if we did this a year ago, I feel like maybe Nick Caserio might be number one at the time, but now he might be number three. So anyways, I open up the floor. Chris, how would you rank him? Who do you think right now, because we just had the Durant trade, you also bring in Clint Capella, you've had a good offseason for the Rockets, the Astros, despite all of their adversity, just keep finding ways to win. That's a credit to, yes, Dana Brown and some of these minor leaguers they bring up. Who do you think right now has done the best job, or I guess is currently doing the best job? Who would be number one on your GM power rankings?
I mean, it's very close because I think they're all doing a tremendous job, but I got to agree with you, Luke. I think Nick Caserio's third right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Dana Brown first just because of what the Astros are doing. And, yes, it's easy to point to, okay, the players on the field, but – He brings all these guys in, and you know, he has a hand in, you know, picking and developing these guys as far as the minor league system goes. He has a hand in that. So I got to go with Dana Brown right now as far as number one, and I go with Raphael Stone, you know, really not just based off of this offseason. You know, the Rockets, they're about a couple years into the especially the MA Udoka I guess era right now, but just what we've seen with Kevin Durant and, like you said, Clint Capella, you get those deals done, especially the Kevin Durant part. I mean, yeah, Stone has to be second for me.
Yeah, I think Caserio is number three, and that's not a slight on Nick.
No.
It's just more of a product of how good this city seems right now or how good we feel about these teams at the moment.
I think you pointed to it, timing. This time last year, it might be different.
Yeah. I know. I think part of it is a little recency bias on my end. I admit it. Because the Astros are having a good year. And again, Dana Brown deserves a lot of credit. The Rockets are having a good offseason. You just got Durant.
Yeah.
So you feel good about them. And they're coming off the. And then the Texans had that big offseason a year ago, but didn't quite live up to expectations. And now, you know, we're maybe a little worried about the offensive line and some of these other questions about the Texans. Yeah. So I think I put Nick third, but it's, that's not meant
but not
to be
a distant third.
Yeah.
It's not like he's way behind, I would say.
No. And then I really struggled on the other two. I guess I put Dana Brown second.
Yeah.
Raphael Stone first, but man.
See, I'm going more so off of what we're seeing out of the Astros, like just this season in general.
Yeah, he deserves a lot of credit.
The call-ups, just the guys he's been able to put on this roster that have been able to step up when they've been needed. That's what it is for me, because a lot of guys have been needed that weren't necessarily going to play a lot coming into the season.
Yeah, I know. I mean, and then you pick up like a Zach Short, who's a career 173 hitter, and he has a nice weekend against the Dodgers. It's just they're on like a heater right now where they could do no wrong. And it is. And Dana Brown has that like scouting background, and so I think he deserves a lot of credit for some of these minor league arms that come up and look like they belong, and some of these other guys that you plug in and have really done well and contributed. So he deserves a lot of credit. I guess I would just go with Stone in the sense that he had already built a team that was good enough to win, what was it, 53 games and be the number two seed. And then now you add that Kevin Durant, which we spent months talking about. They need that finisher. They need that superstar.
Yeah.
And you go out and you do it. And not only that, but it's a trade that I think is just like a no-brainer. Even if you didn't want Durant on this team, when you see what the trade was, I don't know how you could then be against it, because they really gave up nothing. All due respect to those guys to get Durant. It was such a win of a trade for the Rockets, in my opinion. So I think just the job he's done. Now, he's had a bit of a longer runway to get to this point. He had the chance to kind of bottom out and then build back up, which, you know, like Dana Brown, not that he had to build back up, but there's just more pressure to always be good instead of having that chance to tear it down and build it your own way. But, yeah, it's tough. It's a really good debate, I think, one and two. I think I'd go Raphael Stone one, Dana Brown two, Nick Caserio three, but not to be a homer, I think all three are doing a really good job right now building these teams, and that's why we're so excited for these teams in Houston.
I mean, they're all playoff teams. Like, they're all legitimate playoff contending teams. If not, you can say the Astros are in championship, World Series contending team now.
Yeah.
So they're all in contention, at least to be playoff teams, and have been.
They're all in the championship conversation. I'm not saying the Texans are going to go win the AFC, but they're, you get to them on the list. When you talk about top teams in the AFC, you know, the Texans will come up. Certainly the Rockets have the second best odds. The Astros are top five in odds. So it is crazy, because not often do you look around the city and like you feel really good about all three of your teams or all three of your GMs.
Yep.
And that's the case right now.
It's hard to not feel good about them.
Absolutely.
It's hard not to.
Yeah, it's a fun time to be a Houston sports fan right now. But the other part of the conversation is GM is part of the equation, but then the coach is the other part. So now when we look at these three teams that have been successful here recently, how much credit should we be giving to each GM, and how much credit should we be given to the head coach? Because Ime has looked to be, we know he's seems to be a very good coach in the NBA. D'Amico has done a really good job so far with the Texans. And Joe Espada, you know, people are kind of against Espada, but the job he's done this year, I don't think we can deny that he knows, he seems to know what he's doing, or at least he's not screwing it up for the Astros this year. So all three have done a good job with what they've been given. Obviously, coach, GM, they work together.
Yeah.
But if we were to do like a pie chart, how would you look at each of these teams and say, the GM's doing a good job, but it's really more about the coach?
That's a tough question. I mean, that one really is tough, because I guess with the coaches, you see it more. I guess it's more tangible what a coach or a manager is doing in terms of on the field, on the court, football, basketball, baseball, whatever the case may be. The GMs, you know, they're signing deals, they're making trades, bringing guys in. But for a large part of what they do, it's a lot of behind the scenes, so you don't necessarily see it. I don't know if that makes sense, you know, as far as, you know, seeing is believing, I guess, seeing it right there on the court. Like, we can see the impact of Ime Udoka on the court, right? Other than a couple different deals, it's hard to actually, I guess, see the impact as easily of what Stone has done with the Rockets. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that to me, that's a tough conversation of who gets more credit or to, you know, split it up, you know. 60-40, is that what you're kind of going at? You said pie chart, like 60%, 40%.
Yeah, however
like
you
that.
Would do it. Yeah,
that's tough. That's tough to me. I mean, the easy way out is to say 50-50, but it's rarely 50-50 in those cases. You know, usually it's going to be like, you know, one side is a little more responsible. I mean, you can even look at something like the Tom Brady and Bill Belichick argument.
Yeah.
Of, you know, people always have who was more important. So it's always going to, people are always going to, you know, lean to one side of who's more important. I mean, I guess right now, because of the improvement that the Rockets have had under MA the last 2 years, I will go, you know, I guess 60-40 MA Udoka and building the culture that he's brought from Boston. And like you said, it's obvious he's a good coach because he was able to do the same and pretty much the same thing in Boston. Now, a little different circumstances, but he's also brought that same type of mentality to Houston. And that team is really fits him to a T now. Or he fits them, the team, to a T as far as the players that are here in Houston for the Rockets. So
it's true. That's the interesting thing with these three teams is you feel good about the GMs and you got to feel pretty good about the coaches too. With the job he has done, D'Amico, and then, I mean, like I said, with everything the Astros have been dealt and yet to still have such a good record, Joe Espada deserves a lot of credit.
Yeah.
713 on the text sign said last completed season. The Texans are the most recent completed season.
Yeah.
And he said, you got to put Nick Caserio first. He's the only GM to win in the playoffs. Dana Brown in 2023, they did win the first round of the playoffs. The Astros did. So that's equivalent to the Texans winning the one playoff game, losing in the next. You know, we're kind of forecasting for the Rockets and what they're going to do now with Durant.
Yeah.
Also kind of forecasting with the Astros a little bit, although, again, they deserve so much credit for being at this point with all the injuries. But, yeah, it's hard. You have three GMs that have all done really good to build these teams and three good coaches they're working with, too.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was going to say, I think the timing part plays a lot into this, too, because remember last season, the Houston Texans had a little bit of bread to spend and a little bit of a couple of draft picks to spend. So they brought in Stephon Diggs and all that stuff. They kind of loaded up on offense. And this year, by default, that's not the case right now. They got rid of, you know, a couple guys on the offensive line and all that stuff. So if you're looking at it in that way, then sure, you could probably put Nick Caserio last, but that's respectfully because of just the timeline and all that stuff. But overall, I felt like his tenure been pretty good, man.
I would say, yeah.
And it was ahead of schedule because I don't think because even when they drafted CJ and Will Anderson, ain't nobody had maybe a couple people, but I don't think a lot of people had them making the playoffs like that.
And winning
D'Amico's first year and winning a playoff game.
That first year, That means a lot. And again, even if Nick Caserio is third, it's not a distant third. This is a tough ranking right now. It's tough.
It seems like these GMs are fighting for the number one spot. It seemed like when somebody have a good year, they're like, all right, bet. Let me show off in free agency now. Yeah. It seemed like they all trying to get that number one spot, man.
It's a good problem for the city of Houston to have that we're struggling to try to rank these GMs and these coaches. It's a good problem to have.
Yeah, for sure.
If you're a fan.
It's a great time to be a Houston sports fan. And it is interesting what Figgy just said because I think they've referenced that in Boston too, where like when the Patriots started to win Super Bowls, it made the other teams like, oh man, we got to kick it into high gear.
Got to step up.
And that's when the Red Sox broke the curse finally. And then, you know, the Celtics got back a few years after that. But it's like that high, what's it, the water, high, what is it, raises, high tide rises all boats, whatever it is.
Something like that, yeah.
Similar here where, when one team's having success, you know, you get a little competitive. You
got to step it up.
You got to steal some of that spotlight from the Houston sports fans. You don't want them to just be giving their focus to only the Texans. They got to come to some Rockets games too.
Yeah, you can make an argument, a case for everybody, all these GMs.
Oh, yeah,
because even with Rafael Stone, he was getting crushed early on, but he stayed patient, man. That dude stayed patient. He did what was right for the team and brought in the right coach, which took the team to the next level. So you got to get credit alone for that. And then not to mention the KD trade. He didn't overspend for it at all. He kind of stuck to his guns. They kind of spoke what the market was thinking of, the Suns and the trade and all that stuff. And he got the best deal for the Rockets.
Yep. They've all done a good job. I struggle with the 1 and 2. Sorry, Nick. I think it's recency bias. I put you third. The other two, I think it's a really good debate of who's done the better job to this point. I know one text said, we don't even know if the Durant trade is going to work out. Like I acknowledge,
we get that.
It is projected.
We understand that. Yeah.
But I think he did a good job just getting Durant here, filling that void, and not giving up much.
In terms of a general manager making moves, that's what we're kind of looking at here.
Yeah, that was kind of the right move, too. And then you could kind of say the same thing about Nick Caserio, like the moves he's making this offseason. I just seen PFL put out their grading for the O-line, and they had the Houston Texans 32nd.
Oh.
Dead last. So I understand that point, but if it works out right where this offensive line is gelling, then we could be talking about Nick Caserio, the number one GM in the
city.
That's true.
Yeah, so it could go either way, man, with all three of these teams.
That's why we check in with the power rankings every so often.
Got to do it.
Right now, Nick, it's because of the offseason. Recency bias. The other guys are moving up the charts.
It could change next week. Who knows?
That's right. Hey, it's the time of the show each and every day where we get to Figgy's mixtape. Figgy, what can we expect to come up here?
Yeah, so the state of Texas is doing something different when it comes to driving off the lot in a new car. I'll let you know what that is. Plus, it's a guy in North Houston making some crackhead decisions, and I will explain what I mean about that.
Can't wait. We'll do it next. It's In the Loop.
Yes, it is the mixtape In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Monday. Happy Monday to everyone out there. Before I get started with the mixtape, I just want to send prayers, thoughts and prayers to everyone that was involved or affected by the Central Texas flooding. It happened on 4th of July weekend. At least 82 people have died in connection with the flash floods. And it was a lot going on. Pretty sad, man.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are still need help out there. So I just want to give a shout out to HEB. They're doing the Lord's work, man. They sent their disaster relief team to Kerrville and all the surrounding areas over there to help feed first responders and the community or whoever needs it. And they also have a tier pad campaign where customers can contribute to the Spirit of Giving Fund. So you could do it in the store. You could go online at heb.com for more information. So just kind of want to give a little update on that and little thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by that. I had to check on Lopez because he was on vacation in the Hill Country.
Yeah.
So, oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't realize that because I've never been to Central Texas like that.
Okay, yeah.
So he said he was going to the Hill Country with the family and all that. And I seen on the news, they were like, they brought up the Hill Country.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute, Lopez. So I had to check on him.
Is he good? Okay.
Yeah, he's good. His family safe and all that. But
yeah, so like, definitely, like you said, HEB and everybody who's helping out, people in Central Texas. I have family that's from Kerrville. I have a little bit of family still there. They were, according to my mom, they were okay. It's just it's scary, and just seeing some of the footage is just crazy.
Yeah, it's super scary, man. Children's. I know Camp Mystic was affected by it.
Okay,
with the children and the counselors and stuff man. So sad, man. So like I said, I just want to give a little thoughts and prayers to everyone that was affected with that.
Absolutely.
As I continue on the mixtape, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. So I'm looking to get a new car pretty soon.
Okay.
And something happened on July 1st where, for the state of Texas, they got rid of the paper temporary tags now.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So apparently they, you had a lot of people stealing, or not stealing, but making fake tags and putting them on cars and committing crimes and stuff like that.
Of course.
Yeah. So here is KHOU Houston with the story on this.
Starting July 1st, no more paper license plates in Texas. Drivers will leave the car lot with permanent metal tags installed.
Yeah, lawmakers hoping the change will curb crime, but thieves could still target your metal plates.
In August 2021, a New Orleans police officer visiting Houston was shot and killed. The getaway car had bogus temporary tags highlighting a big problem. A loophole in Texas law let fake car dealerships print and sell temporary plates, and criminals took advantage of that. Now, a new law aims to stop the fraud by eliminating paper plates.
Without paper tags, crooks are going to need, you know, some way to hide the identity of their car, and stealing a hard tag is one way. More than likely, we're going to see is more of a rise of the stolen hard tags.
It may sound like a small crime, but it can lead to big headaches, from toll violations to crimes committed in your name.
So that's a little scary, and the first thing I thought about was, how can I prevent this, man? Because I know some people have some special plates where it take a long time for you to steal your license plate, but some other people just got a screw right there. So you could just show up with a screwdriver and unscrew and then steal somebody's license plate
and be gone in a flash.
Yep. So here's more from KHOU on what you can do to prevent this. What type of special screw you need?
That's why Sergeant Hicks recommends swapping out the standard screws on your plates with these.
Tamper-resistant screws for our license plates.
They look almost identical, but the difference is in the head. Once they are installed, they require a special tool to remove, which makes it much harder for a thief to nab.
Hopefully, the crook won't have the one that matches your plate. Make him go somewhere else.
By the way, these tamper-proof screw sets can be easily found online or at a hardware store.
Nah, I'm not the coldest beer in the fridge. I ain't gonna lie. But do you think the criminals be sitting there watching this new segment like, huh? All right, so I can't use a screwdriver. Let me go to Amazon. Let me go to the hardware store and get this special screwdriver that these people are using right now.
That's what caught my attention. Hopefully, the criminals don't have the special tool. So I'm on a wing and a prayer here that this career criminal does not have the special tool to swipe my license plate.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, man.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little worried about that. I do think, I have a few questions, too, about leaving the...
a lot of questions.
Yeah, I have a couple questions about leaving the parking lot or leaving the car lot with the hard plates. Like, are you good? You ain't got to go to the DMV or anything like that. So you just good?
Yeah, like everything is registered right away. Because sometimes these dealerships, they be taking a while to send your information in.
Yeah.
Depending on where you go.
So I'm wondering what type of hard, is it like a hard temporary plate or... I'm just kind of curious, man, because it seemed like that will help a lot if you just go on and get your plates and be done. You ain't got to go. You ain't got to stand in line and at the DMV and all that stuff. Yeah. But I'm a little curious about these special screws that you could just pick up from the hardware store.
I mean, how soon before you're looking to, like, are you actively looking for a new car? Or?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so
yeah.
It's going to happen soon.
Yeah, it's going to happen soon, okay. Probably in the next month.
Hey, man, invest in that too, brother. Invest in that too.
I want to put the damn club on there at this point, man. Like, y'all ain't taking my car.
Put a club on your license plate.
Put a little mini little lock or something, man. Like, just don't. And by the way, I did have my license plate stolen before, my front
really?
One. Yeah, my front one. And it's a hassle to try to get another one.
I bet. Now, was that here?
No, it wasn't here. It was when I lived up in Cleveland.
Okay.
And Ohio actually have a rule where you got to have a front license plate.
Yeah
some states, a lot of states do,
same
actually.
Same here.
Yeah,
a lot of states do.
Because I know, like, Michigan didn't have that. So if you had like a rental car that didn't have a front license plate, you was good. But if it was like Ohio plate, then you'll get a ticket for that.
Oh wow! Okay, yeah.
I have to plead ignorance on the whole story though, because I kept seeing this headline that said, like, starting July 1st, paper plates are going to be banned in Texas, and I kept thinking they were talking about paper plates that you eat off of. And I'm a big paper plate guy because I don't want to do the dishes.
Hey, you know what, Luke? I am too.
Yeah.
I hate doing dishes.
And I was like, what? They're going to ban that July 1st? And then finally, after seeing this headline so many times, I clicked on the story and I watched the video and they said the license plate. I said, oh, okay. Thank goodness. So I could still use my paper plates.
Hey, Fig, you had Luke scared over here, man. Yeah. No more paper plates in Texas?
You thought we was living in Seattle, huh?
Yeah. I don't want to do the dishes.
Yeah, you got to pay for your paper bags and all that stuff, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's not just Seattle. That's the Pacific Northwest. I mean, I lived in Portland, so I mean, I believe we had to pay for them there too.
Yeah,
Washington and Oregon side.
Yeah, no, I went to Seattle one time. I just went to the store. I think it was like a Walgreens or something or Walmart, and they asked if I wanted a bag. I'm like, yeah, sure. Man, that price went jacked up a little bit. I'm like, I could carry this stuff myself. I only had one thing.
It's like 15 cent now.
Yeah,
they,
I'm like,
when they started, it was like 5 cent.
Yeah,
and it jumped up over.
I think I got
years.
It when it was about 15 cent, and I'm like, nah, man, I only got one thing. I think I just had like some toothpaste or something. I'm like, nope, I don't need no bag. And y'all doing this right.
I think California might be on the same thing though. I haven't lived in Cali in over a decade now, but I believe when I go back, I think I do pay for bags there.
Yeah.
But I hate paying for bags. Like, I don't want to pay for this. Yeah. I'm already paying for the food.
No, it helps you bring your own stuff, your own bag. So I guess it is helping save the environment a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I ain't trying to pay for no bags that I'm going to throw away anyway.
Nah.
All right, it's the mixtape in the Loop Sports Radio 610. So a man on the north side of Houston was arrested for stealing tools out of someone's garage. And doing something like that, I feel like Joe Judge, remember Joe Judge Brown? Judge Joe Brown. I think he would refer to this move he did after the fact, kind of a crackhead move to him.
The Harris County Precinct 1 Constable's Office would like you to take a good look at this guy. They say he's behind an outlandish scam. 38-year-old David Saucier caught on camera last month stealing tools from a garage in North Houston. He then approaches the homeowners telling them, hey, I know who stole the tools and offers help get them back. The homeowners didn't fall for it and called 911. Saucier took off. The Constable's Office tells us he's been doing this while out on bond for a previous theft.
What the hell is wrong with you, man?
Some people just can't get right, man.
Yeah, that remind me of the scene from Coming to America when they stole all their stuff, and then the guy come back, hey, I got some gold toothbrushes for you.
Oh, man.
That's the classic move, is stealing it, and then, and like, trying to sell, I can help you find it back.
Yeah, man. That sounds a little crackhead-ish
he need his
to
ass,
me a little bit.
He need his ass kicked.
Yeah, no.
He need his ass kicked.
No, me, how ignorant I can be, I probably would be like, oh, word, all right, come on, all right, let's go get it then.
Let's go get
Knowing damn well, I know you did it. And then would have whooped his ass on the spot. And give me my stuff back too, man. What's wrong with you?
Stealing people's tools out their garage, man.
Did
they catch this guy yet? I mean, I guess they called the cops on him.
I think they called him.
I do hear about that.
I live in North Houston, so please catch him.
Yeah.
Hope you don't have a tool shed out there. I hear about that a lot, though, like tools getting stolen. I'm not a handyman. I don't have tools. I don't have some fancy garage. But I hear that a lot. Like, is there a real value in that, in stealing these tools? I feel like if you're going to steal something, you got to go bigger than stealing someone's like toolbox and selling the tools.
Yeah,
some of these toolboxes.
Yeah. The thing is, I think this stuff is worth a lot of money.
Yeah.
But if you are, you know, a crackhead, drug addict, something like that, you selling it for dirt cheap.
You gonna steal anything?
Yeah, you not selling it for the right price. You might try to sell it for a lot of money.
Yeah.
But ain't nobody about to give you all that money. So you going to sell probably some type of tool that's usually like maybe $300. Probably sell it for like $40, $50.
If you in the market to buy something from a crackhead, always barter.
Yeah.
Never pay full price. Don't ask how I know. Just do it.
I love this comment. Someone will steal Figgy's tools, then charge him to do the pathway.
Hey, the text line wins again, man.
Yeah. So, hopefully this guy's off the street.
I sincerely hope so.
Yeah. All right, real quick, I'll get y'all out of here on this. Have y'all been keeping up with the whole Malik Beasley thing?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Him being investigated over some gambling allegations.
Yep.
And all that stuff. I feel like we're going to see more of this in the future.
Of course.
But here is Bomani Jones pretty much talking about this situation and how much money he owed to a barber.
Malik Beasley owes his landlord, Dan Gilbert, a celebrity barbershop with a long roster of NBA stars, won a $26,827 judgment against Beasley. How do you run up a $27,000 bill at the barbershop? If y'all from Milwaukee, tell me about what's going on at Cairo Cuts. Because apparently they cutting the fuck out of heads. In January, a Minnesota dentist won a $34,390 default judgment against Beasley. The dentist started garnishing Beasley's paychecks from the Pistons in February. Court records show Malik Beasley has made $60 million in the NBA. And my question about that garnishment is, who else is on his check if the dentist ain't got his $35,000 yet? Malik Beasley, you are officially known as the brokest to the whole NBA.
I never knew somebody in the NBA like this. And I think he racked up a good amount of money where he could be good for life.
He could be.
Yeah, 60 mil, he said, right? You make 60
said
million.
He made 60 million.
That's all you need.
Yeah.
If you're smart.
Dog, how are you that much in debt like that?
The haircut thing, no.
That's absurd.
How do you owe that much for haircuts?
I know. I did the math for my, that'd be 415 haircuts for me.
Man.
Unpaid.
415.
Yeah.
I ain't got no hair, so I don't worry about that stuff.
Have you had 450?
Yeah, in my life, right?
Yeah. In life.
I don't even know if I had that in my life.
I know. What's going on? They have, like, dancers there, too? How is it, how are you spending so much money?
The only thing I could think of is maybe he's flying the barber out or something like that.
It's kind of that's what I'm thinking.
It's jacking up the price.
That's
maybe he charged about $250 or $300 a cut or something like that.
Fair. I'll be still honest not with worth
you. I hear what some of these haircuts go for now, and I'm like, I'm glad I'm bald.
It's crazy.
Because it's ridiculous. Dudes is paying like upward of $150 to $200 that ain't really got it like that for a haircut, for a lineup.
Yeah.
Y'all tripping.
It was somebody, and recently, I didn't even put this in the mixtape, but somebody from Houston, a well-known barber in Houston, was trying to do a membership. So you pay $150, I want to say, a month, and you get like four haircuts. And my first thought was, who the hell getting four haircuts in a month?
I mean, that's, I know dudes that go in. I used to know dudes that was in the barbershop once a week. People do it.
Yeah, the most I go is every other week. I would go every other Friday. So and that's on the bougie side.
If I'm on the bougie
if I'm
side.
Just trying to stay cut and clean.
Yeah.
But man, four haircuts a month.
I ain't got them problems no more. I ain't got to go to nobody barbers. I ain't got no hair. So
$150 a month.
Yeah.
Ain't no
also,
way.
Also, knock on ain't wood, no I've been lucky with the dental stuff, but he owed a dentist, what, $35,000? What's $35,000?
So I listened to that, Bomani, I listened to that, and yeah, he was going in on him about the teeth.
What, was he getting a grill?
Like, what was wrong with his teeth?
Yeah. He must have got some implants or something.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just seems like a lot of money. I don't know.
And the dentist garnished his wages. Yeah. That's even crazier.
How would you feel if you was pretty much the GM of that team or the owner of that team, and now you got some dentist company hitting you up like, hey, we need to garnish his check. That would put me in a bad mood. I'm like, dog, nah, I'm about to trade your ass.
Yeah, I'll be like,
trade your ass to the Wizards, man.
Like, it's not like it's the government that's garnishing his wages, which they will do depending on the circumstance.
It's worse.
It's a dentist.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I'd rather have the government.
really?
Like, dog, don't have the dentist calling my phone. I'm paying you money. I'm paying you more than this.
A lot of money.
You could afford to pay this out, man.
A lot of money.
Brutal. And that's how you get yourself into that type of situation with the gambling and all that sort of stuff. Hey, appreciate it. The Figgy's mixtape of this time each and every day, as always, here on In the Loop. When we come back, we'll catch up with the fellas from the drive, but also the Astros. It's remarkable how they keep doing this. Is this the most impressive version of the Astros we have ever seen? Get to that next. It's In the Loop. The fellas are out today. I'm Luke Morrow alongside Chris Partee. Figgy Fig on the other side of the glass holding things down. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here on this Monday. You can always text the show 713-572-4610. We'll catch up with the guys from the drive coming up here in just a few moments. But hopefully you had a great holiday weekend. Hopefully you had a Houston Astros type of weekend, because that was a great series in LA against the Dodgers. We, of course, started the show talking about it, but it's worth circling back to, Chris, just how impressive that was, because you and I, as I said earlier this morning, we had worked together, whatever it was, 7, 10, 14 days ago.
Yeah.
And talking about the Astros and how at that time, a couple things. One, there's not a lot of room to criticize what the Astros were doing, but we said they still got to be better on the road. And they've been a lot better on the road
They're doing it.
Of late. And then number two, we said Dodger fans might be the only fan base that can feel better about their team at that time than Astros fans. Now, fast forward, again, whatever, it's been 7-10 days since we had that conversation. They just went on the road, swept the Dodgers, and I think no fan base, because of how they've gotten to this record, should feel better about the Astros than Astros fans.
Dodgers fans especially can no longer say that they feel better about their team than Astros fans.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a thing anymore. We just saw them go on the road, as you just said, as you just laid out, and not only beat the Dodgers, sweep them, but do it handily. Like, they manhandled them, even outside of just the was it the 18?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you score 18 runs in the major leagues? Like, 18 runs. That is a ridiculous beatdown.
Yeah, it was.
They did it this weekend. The Astros are trending toward, you know, it's going to be a nice run for them over these next, you know, 2-3 months of the season, two months of the season heading into October. It's going to be a nice run. That's what's shaping up here.
It sure is. And now they return home. They get the Guardians tonight, who have just been terrible.
Yeah.
They've lost 10 games in a row, the Guardians have.
They have no offense. Yeah.
Man. 15 runs scored total.
And they totally, I think they played, was it yesterday or Saturday? One of these days they played, and they totally screwed the game up, man. They was up 1-0.
Yes.
In the I think it was the bottom of the ninth or the top of the ninth with two outs and a little wild. It wasn't even a wild pitch, man. Whoever the catcher was just let it go right through the five hole. and they had somebody on third, came home, and I think they lost the game like 7-1 to Astros.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know it well. God. I had under 7.5 runs. It was a 1-0 game in the ninth. I already spent that money, and ended up they lost 7-2.
Yeah,
10 innings or whatever, 11 innings went over. I was like, "You gotta be kidding!" Like,
this team is pathetic.
Seriously,
yeah, they are miserable.
They have fallen apart because they were you know doing pretty well. They were in the conversation there. They were in the thick of things in the wild card race, and they just
bottom fell out.
Blown damn, their whole season.
Damn,
in the last
2 weeks. Place, man.
That division started off pretty well in April. It's a bad division, and the Tigers are just beating up on all of them. Colton Gordon gets the start tonight for the Astros. Yeah. He had been pitching well until last time out. Now, that was at Coors Field, so maybe we chalk it up to just, Coors Field, he'll be better tonight at home against...
He'll get back on track against the Guardians.
Yeah, just a hapless offense. It's a 7-10 first pitch tonight here in Houston for the Astros to try to keep the good times going. This is something that deserves a longer conversation, and we only have a couple moments left, but still... Doesn't it feel like, I mean, this has been such an incredible run the Astros have been on for about a decade now.
Yeah.
Brought them a couple World Series. But it almost feels like, and maybe I'm being prisoner of the moment, that this is the most impressive season to this point because of everything they've dealt. They lead the league in players on the IL, and yet they're about a game and a half behind the best record in the league. Those two things usually don't go together. It's just been remarkable. They just swept the Dodgers, won 18-1 on Friday. It's just been crazy what they've been able to achieve throughout this season.
Yeah, now they got to go finish it out. I mean, I know we got a long way to go. I get that. But remarkable, yes, but you got to finish the job, right? So everyone wants to see them go ahead, have this long run, have this deep run into the postseason and, you know, bring back another World Series to Houston. You got to finish it. If we're going to call it, you know, I get what you said, the best season.
Yeah, like the most impressive.
Impressive season. Well, you gotta cap that off at the end.
So have we gotten to the point now? Because if you go to the preseason, the win total was set around, I know Tyler knows because he bet the over. Yeah,
like
I think it was like 86.5.
Yeah.
Now that FanGraphs has them projected to win like 93 games, wow, something like that. So they should, knock on wood, you know, kind of blow past that number.
Yeah.
But have we gotten past the point where it's a feel-good story of how good they're playing with all this adversity to the point now where it's World Series or bust? Is that how you feel?
I think it's still a feel-good story. Because you still got a lot of dudes missing from this roster, from the lineup, from the pitching staff as well. So, no, it's still a feel-good story, but that doesn't mean that you can't say they need to go, they need to finish off the job.
If Christian Walker has turned things around, let's say.
He has momentarily.
Yeah, he's had a
good, at the least.
Statistically, he's had a good couple of weeks here.
Yeah.
And, you know, numbers don't always tell the full story. Obviously had a good weekend in LA. He loves that stadium. Say we can cross Christian Walker off the list of concerns. Who else on the team currently would be that next guy up that you're still looking for more out of on this Astros squad?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Who if we don't have to worry about
it sounds
about
like
Christian
you have
Walker,
someone in mind.
I really don't, though. That's the thing.
That's a good question.
Like, I think Yainer still needs to step up behind the plate specifically, but also at the plate. But his numbers have been better in recent weeks. I don't know. Cam Smith's been great for the past month.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. Cam has been good, man.
You know, I don't know who it is that you're looking at and saying, like, man, we really need more out of this guy.
I mean, Christian Walker had been the main name, I would say, that we'd been hearing. Everyone is like, okay, we're waiting on him to do more. I won't say to do something, but to do more. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the last couple of weeks he's done that. So it's hard for me to pick one guy, especially in the lineup, that, you know, all right, I'm waiting for this guy to be next.
Yeah, which was kind of my point. It's
they've been clicking on all cylinders for the most part.
Yeah, they are towards the top in batting average and top six and on base percent. Slugging's a little down without Yordan, but everything else, all the numbers check out well for these Astros. And
hey, they're winning.
So did the weekend. Yeah, you're not kidding.